everybody. It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative. Today we are with the drummer from Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. That's a mouthful. I thought I would fuck that up. Alex, otherwise known as Gator Petropolis. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys been keeping busy touring. I've been looking at your dates, and you guys are hitting it hard, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of been our MO over the last almost 10 years now, is just hitting the road hard. And, you know, we've used this year to kind of work on more new songs and kind of some new avenues, but we're always on the road.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And I got to shout out my cousin Chris. He's the one who got me into you guys. And I didn't even like I've always heard your guys' name floating around, you know what I mean? Because like you guys tour all the time. So it's like, yeah. I've always heard of you, and I finally nestled down and like listened to your stuff. And I need to catch a show, because like that's what it's all about, probably. Is that true, I guess, like when it comes to your guys' music?
You know, I think it is. It's, and it's not to say, you know, we don't love the studio vibe, and especially recently, I feel like especially in the last couple of records, we've kind of honed in kind of a more of a studio sound versus live sound, because it's fun. But like you said, it's different. You know, our sound is, or our show is very much geared towards that energy from the crowd. And, you know, a lot of our show is improv and, you know, kind of jamming on the spot. And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, nonverbal communication, a lot of high peaking moments, not to mention, you know, we have crazy light show that goes along with it. So, you know, the live aspect definitely encompasses more of a full production, and it, you know, and it's hard to, you know, transcend that into a studio vibe. It's fun, you know, it's different, kind of like taking these 20 minute jams and kind of shrinking them into like a studio song. But it's fun. It's two different vibes, but I agree that the live is where it's at. And I definitely suggest seeing us live if you want to get into us.
Yeah. And kind of piggybacking off that a bit, how would you, as a member of the band, how would you describe your guys' live show? Like you mentioned, you had the light show and all that kind of stuff. How would you describe it?
Yeah, you know, we've always said it's, you know, we've always called it high energy psychedelic funk. You know, it's kind of, you know, crazy lights, a lot of crazy people, you know, dancing around. It's high energy. You know, we like to take those peaks and valleys and kind of, you know, take things out there. It'll be dancey one moment and then kind of more spacey or islandy. You know, we try to cover a lot of different ground and, you know, take risks musically where, you know, we're stretching ourselves also. You know, we're trying things, we're trying jams that may not land perfectly every time, but it's kind of this give and take with us and the crowd and feeding off their energy, like I mentioned earlier. And it's fun. It's definitely a journey. It's, and we definitely play for a while and put in a long show. We definitely try to give the people the money's worth and leave them wanting more, but also just drain from the experience.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. So I guess let's back up a bit, just so people could kind of get to know you a bit more. I guess when you were first coming up, like before you were even in the group, like are you from Maryland? Is that where it was?
No. Well, the band's okay. From Maryland. They met at University of Maryland. They're all from this Baltimore area. Greg himself is from New York, but he went to University of Maryland, and they started there. I'm from New Hampshire originally, and came in a few years down the road, in 2015. But yeah, I immediately dropped everything and moved down here. I'm in Maryland now, and we all live within, you know, 10-15 minutes of each other, and still practice regularly and get together for band practices, like, you know, the good old days. So it's a good home base.
Awesome. So when you were coming up, like when you were playing the drums before you were in Pigeons, how would you describe the music scene from where you're at? Because you hear about the scene in Nashville, the scene in Texas, but like you don't hear about like all these other states.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It is kind of different where you go. You know, before Pigeons, you know, I wasn't doing music full time, but it was still my passion and I was still playing in bands. A lot of it was in kind of the New York City grind in, you know, that Connecticut, New York area. Went to University of Hartford and kind of played music kind of because of that in that area. And You know, it's tough. It's a grind. It really is. You know, kind of trying to find your footing, and you know, you come across so many talented musicians that, you know, it's hard to really get your foot in the door and kind of make it a full-time thing. And you know, it was hard then. I think it might be even harder now, just kind of with the climate of music these days and how hard it is to maintain a touring schedule. And you know, but I got lucky. You know, I continued to work hard and always, you know, put in the time, and it led to, you know, Jeremy, our guitarist from Pigeons, reached out. I didn't even really know him too well at the time. We had met a couple times. I my college band opened for Pigeons one time. So, you know, it's just making those connections and, you know, continuing to grind and you know, meeting other bands and connecting with different musicians. And, you know, it worked for me. They called me out of the blue years later and asked if I wanted to audition. And, you know, from then I knew I wasn't, you know, I was going to go in as prepared as possible, and I wasn't going to, you know, miss this opportunity, and it all worked out. So, you know, yeah.
Right. So when you, have you always played that kind of style that Pigeons does, like the funky psychedelic jazz jam kind of stuff? Or was it kind of a shock, like a total difference when you joined?
Yeah, it's a great question. 'Cause you know, variations of it, you know, I definitely had played, you know, funk music, some jazz music, but their sound specifically, not really. You know, growing up, I was a lot more of a rock and roll guy, you know, a lot of heavy metal and, you know, just classic rock, Zeppelin, you know, Bonham, all the Keith Moons, all the greats. And, you know, in college, it kind of did kind of went down that kind of jazz fusion path. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, Pigeons on the surface, you know, the sound might seem, you know, pretty structurally basic in the sense of, you know, rhythm and groove. It's typically got, you know, just a very straightforward kind of dance beat. You know, we have some cool rhythms underlaying that for sure. But, you know, it's a pretty approachable sound when it comes to rhythm. But at the same time, it was a big adjustment just because, you know, obviously we're jamming for a while. So, and, you know, even the endurance factor of playing, you know, the 3-hour show, you know, continuously a lot of long songs, that alone was kind of an adjustment. You go from playing, you know, 45 minute bar club sets to 290 minute sets or whatever. So,
yeah.
But stylistically, yeah, there was a lot of just intricacies, whether it was, you know, a lot of offbeat playing on the hi-hat or kind of instead of more that swaggy backbeat, kind of pushing the beat more as a drummer. And, you know, a lot of little adjustments. And as the years went by, you know, I kind of, when I started, tried to really stick to the main parts, you know, and most of the parts that the previous drummer had. And, you know, as time goes and you get comfortable as a group, you know, I would kind of seep more of my style in. And, you know, 9 years later, it's all come together, and it's always fun working on new music, and it's something I'm a lot more comfortable with now. So, yeah.
Yeah. And what your guys' sound, what drew me to you guys is that it is such an interesting combination of like style, because especially nowadays, like funk and psychedelic, like even separate, like that's not exactly like something you hear every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So combining that and making it into like kind of like a jam band, I guess, kind of thing. Like I feel like that's pretty unique. So do you feel that way too? Do you feel like you guys are like in your own camp, or do you have like other people that you come to mind at all, or like influences, inspirations like that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, you know, for the first part, I think, you know, what kind of allows us to kind of have a lot of different styles is the fact that, you know, we're all music fans, but we all listen to like vastly different music. Well, we all love all types of music, but as far as kind of our go-to, you know, we have a lot of different, you know, backgrounds. As far as, you know, Greg has a great knowledge of, like, our singer has a great knowledge of kind of the more musical theater vibe. You know, Ben listens to kind of a lot of deep bass electronic music, which brings in a vibe. You know, Jeremy was very much into, you know, Fish and you know, Trey and as well as the old school funk guys, the Grant Greens, you know. So it's, you know, I had more originally of a rock and kind of fusion vibe. So it's definitely a melting pot, you know. And I think the way we, you know, we approach songwriting, it's very collaborative too. And that allows us to kind of, you know, kind of create a vibe. Cause, you know, as I was saying earlier, if you hear us on the whole, you know, some things may sound pretty basic and straightforward, but we try to have a lot of, you know, little intricacies here and there of different rhythms, like you said. And I don't know, it's hard to compare, cause there's also the, you know, the jam band word is such a convoluted term, you know. There's metal bands that jam, you know, reggae bands that jam, you know. So we try not to kind of compare our sounds to others, you know. As far as like the classics and the dancey vibe, we kind of try to hone in almost like that Talking Heads vibe, if you think of kind of more of the old school guys, with, you know, it's kind of always changing, but you know, we always try to stay true to our sound. And
And it's funny you mentioned the whole jam band thing, because I feel like as a person who I've never really been super into those kinds of bands, like I just never really dove into them. Yeah. So like when I was trying to figure out like what is it, it seems like a genre, if it even is a genre, like it just seems like something that invented itself. You just had all these bands going back in the day, like you got what, like Grateful Dead, I think. And like,
yeah.
Then through time, you had like Dave Matthews Band. Like you said, there's metal ones like guys like Tool, guys like that.
Yeah, they have sections where they jam, or, you know, it's also kind of, it's jam is almost a more of a culture as opposed to, you know, if you think of it more of the word in terms of music, then you almost, you think more of improv. And if that's the sense, you know, wouldn't jazz be jam? But I think, you know, it kind of created, I think, more of a culture, like you said, you know, you had the bands like The Dead who were very experimental, and then Phish came along. And so, yeah, I definitely think it's a mixture of style, but also just kind of the culture of that scene. So,
yeah. And it's also, it's funny because like the culture part, all the fan bases for these guys are like, people say cult fan bases a lot, which just means like a lot of people who like are totally dedicated to these guys will travel around to watch them. Do you guys see that like with your guys' band too? Just like a huge dedicated fan base?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so cool to see. I mean, ever since I joined, you know, even when we were doing lower level tours, you know, you go show by show, you see familiar faces all throughout the country. And, you know, you see those guys tailgating and showing up early for the VIPs. And, you know, it's so cool, you know. And we have, you know, we call our fan group the Flock, and you know, it's always growing. And it's a hardcore group of fans. They're amazing. You know, they're always collaborating. They always have like meetups before shows, and you know, it goes back to kind of the culture kind of the scene. And it's, you know, it's inspiring. It's like, you know, it makes you feel good when you take the stage and you see people like, you know, clearly into it, and, you know, kind of drives you to keep going. It also drives you to keep things fresh. You know, like one kind of major theme of our live show is that every night it's a new set list. We always, our guitarist Jeremy has a spreadsheet of every set list we ever played in every city. So, you know, when we return, we'll bring up, you know, the past sets and even try to switch it up from when we were in town last, as opposed to where we were last night. So it keeps us on our toes. But yeah, the Flock, it's been crazy. It's still fun to today to see, you know, our fans always interacting and showing up in different places. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And I just thought about, like we were talking about like all these dedicated fan bases and stuff. And like with the whole, just how that culture is, it's, you see a lot, especially with like the older guys, like other bands, like there's like hundreds of live albums. Have you guys ever like wanted to go down that path at all? Or is no, has that ever crossed your mind?
No, for sure. Cause you know, as we were talking earlier, it's, you know, the live show is definitely where it's at, you know, with us. And, so we work with a company called Nugs that we record our shows every night, and we'll upload them to this streaming service that, you know, works with a bunch of different bands. And so we do put out pretty much every live show in that sense. But as far as like the official live releases, we're definitely, you know, a little picky as far as which ones to actually release. It's tough with the live shows because, you know, you really want to try to portray that energy. And, you know, there's a lot of times where you're ripping so hard live and it may not always come across great in a recording or something. You know, there's those little things.
The logistics seem just ridiculous with live albums. Yeah.
You know, or if there's this crazy moment on stage where we're going nuts and the lights are going nuts, you know, it's obviously you're not really going to capture that. But it's actually something we've been trying to put more into and kind of create more official live releases, because the fans definitely seem to, you know, lean more towards the live stuff. But we also love doing studio stuff. We just released another new record, so it's been going great. And
we'll hit on that record in a minute. But it's just kind of funny that it kind of sucks actually that like the physical media thing is kind of irrelevant nowadays, because back then you had like the live DVDs, and like now,
oh my gosh, that was my thing. I still have right next to me in that drawer some like really good ones from like high school.
and like I just think about them, like guys like you, like bands like you guys would make a killing off that shit.
Let's bring back live DVDs.
For sure, man. So are you I drum for leisure, not in a band or anything. So I always tend to listen to more of like the drum parts and songs. And like I was, you know, kind of breaking down what you were playing in some in a lot of your guys' tunes. Mm-hmm. Are you like, have you ever gotten into like jazz drumming at all? Is that something that you dove into?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I wouldn't say my jazz chops are nearly could be pulled off professionally. It's something I'm extremely interested in. I have a deep love for jazz music and have been around a lot of great jazz players. So it's something I've always kind of continued, not only, you know, just learning the history and the playing, but just kind of how it's approached and, you know, dynamically a different touch. You know, mm-hmm. I love wailing and I love going nuts on heavy rock and, you know, having a deep funk pocket.
Yeah.
But it almost, you know, the jazz aspect and just the touch and technique, it's something that's always interested me. It's something I'm trying to get into more. And it, you know, definitely live and kind of some jams. I've been recently kind of trying to break into more of that, whether it's some more just ghost notes or spacey playing or kind of syncopated stuff. And it's been fun. You know, the other guys in the group have kind of been open to it as well, kind of just taking things a little more out here and there. And it kind of helps when you kind of come back and lock into a pocket, mm-hmm. kind of make, you know, makes it seem even more locked. So yeah, it's definitely something I try to get better at.
But my buddy, I don't know if you know him, Corey Coverstone, he used to play in Dirty Honey.
Okay,
he's since left the band, but he got into jazz drumming, and he said that like it is like a total different world, like even on like a spiritual level almost. Like there's like different ways that you have to change your brain when you play it, and you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense, but
no, it absolutely does. You're a lot of the times as drummers and how you're taught, you're always ingrained that like, you know, that the kick and the snare are what's driving everything. Yeah. And then you start to learn jazz and you realize it's all being driven by like the right hand. And like, it's like learning a new language. You're starting from point A and you're approaching every little thing in a different way. So, and I feel like it's something you can just kind of, I mean, most aspects of music, I believe you can always learn more, but there's just so many little intricacies with jazz drumming that since it started hundreds of years, 100 years ago, there's still innovation. So it's great.
Yeah. They're in the league of their own for sure, man. So this is a pretty cliche question. You probably get a lot, but who are some of like the inspiration, like drummer inspirations that you have that like kind of you look to when you're trying to like, you know, hunker down, get creative or something and figure out a new drum pattern or something?
Yeah, you know, kind of, you know, if I'm going to pull from different styles, like, I guess if I want to work on, you know, clarity of chops or working on some new stuff like that, I'll always go back to guys like Vinny Cali. I think Vinny Caliuta might be my all-time favorite. He's just
okay.
Encompasses the rock, the fusion, the jazz,
yeah. Just
being a badass, you know. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, and then, you know, as far as groove guys, you know, Steve Gadd, guys like yeah. that, where it's just, you can't even imagine them like screwing up the groove. Everything is just so locked in. You know, if I ever, going back to the jazz world, if I ever just want to hear something and just be blown away and get inspired, I'll listen to Tony Williams. He, you know, just his, the way he could play songs that you hear it, you're like, oh, okay. That's like, it's fast, but I think I could do that. And then you try to play it and you're like, holy shit.
Like, yeah, dude.
It makes
yeah.
things sound very like, oh, I think impossible. I can do that. And then you try, wait, how can he do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's yeah.
The yeah, list all, is all, all it takes for me is I'll watch Whiplash one time and then I yes. just say, fuck this. I'm not doing it. I'm going back to Ringo shit.
Yeah, right. Which, hey, that's also, I think, you yeah. know, Ringo in his way was a master in himself. I also have huge appreciation for guys like Questlove, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Guys who, they can play all the fills, but they know musically, you know, what works and, you know, I think it takes just as much balls to pull off a crazy fill than it does to just sit there and just ride a fat pocket and play what the music needs. So, you know,
yeah,
I try to respect all sides of it for sure.
Yeah. That's why I love talking to drummers, because I could semi-relate on a very proficient level or yeah. novice level, I should say. But yeah. like I was talking to I had Tim Alexander on from Primus.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's an absolute animal. Of and like course. I was just asking him, just as a fan kinda, I'm like, yeah, so what'd you play on this and that? Which I don't know if that makes for a good interview, because some people just like tone it out, but like, and he just explains it like it's nothing. It's like, dude, that would take me like 3 months to learn. Like, yeah. It's nuts.
Oh, yeah. He's off. He's been a favorite since middle school days. So.
Yeah, man. But we're touched on a bit how much you guys tour and stuff. And yeah. And you said that's, you know, kind of what you guys pride yourself on, and being able to deliver shows. And I guess, like, how do you keep yourself going when it comes to that? Because it just seems absolutely exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's definitely a grind. It's, you know, it's kind of just how you approach it. You know, we've been fortunate enough over the years to, as you know, as we've kind of grown a bit, you know, been able to bring in some crew guys to alleviate some of the pressure. But, you know, for a while, and it's still very much a do-it-yourself project, you know, we're always setting up our stuff. And, I don't know. It's just kind of embracing it as, you know, you got to go into it. While it is sweet and it's so much fun, you still got to remember that it's, you know, this is our job and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a work day. And like, you know, we show up, we get to venues. So sometimes as early as 10 in the morning to start loading in our light show for 3-4 hours, set up gear. Then, you know, we use our sound check as a rehearsal as well. So we'll do a full 2 hours and, you know, then you get dinner and then you play for 3 hours and you break down. So it really is a, you know, an all day thing. You just gotta kind of, you know, enjoy the ride. Like I really enjoy like getting to a new venue and like setting up and like testing, you know, hitting all the drums and seeing how, what sounds different in every room. You know, there's no doubt there's those weeks where you might have a five show week or something, and it, you know, you get to that Sunday show and it's you definitely feel it. But it's just all how you approach it. We've always tried to be good to ourselves, have fun, but also, you know, you don't want to just be beating yourself up and being hungover all day and
yeah.
get to the next venue. You still want to enjoy it and enjoy the times, enjoy the downtimes, you know, after the show, kick back, you know, let loose with your friends. And, you know, you get up and you do it again. And just, you know, going out when you have little breaks, going out and walking down the street and, you know, kind of seeing the town, you know, you don't want to do a whole tour and realize, oh, all I saw was the inside of the venue. You know?
Yeah.
And it's tough. There are going to be days like that, but, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of having that perspective of, yeah, this is a grind, but you know, we're lucky to be doing it. You know, we put in the work, we earned it, and you know, you got to just work hard, play hard. And I think, you know, I've been lucky to join a good group of guys that all have like a great head on their shoulders when it comes to kind of the work play balance. So
did you say a 2 hour long sound check? Is that normal, or is it because you guys have such like a extensive set list?
I don't think it's very normal, especially if you're just kind of playing a smaller show. Typically it's you just get your sound checked, you know, half hour or so, play a quick half a tune or something. But yeah, you know, when you do tour so much and, you know, may not have as much time to work on new songs or just kind of when we're playing a different set every night, you know, there's going to be songs here and there we haven't played in a while that we need to brush up. So yeah, it can get a bit exhausting, but you know, it is important. You know, we also have a separate little backstage setup that we tour with. I have a little fold out kind of busker drum kit that we set out. So before the show, we even we'll go over the set list again. And if there's any final changes or things, we rehearse again backstage. So it becomes a lot, but it, you know, it's definitely, I've always said I'd way rather do that than kind of, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like I think I'd rather have a grind of a day than just have to show up and play. You know, it's like, yeah, that might be sweet one day, or you get to a certain level and it's kind of like, that's like the whole, you know, but
yeah,
you know, we've always enjoyed the process and enjoyed, you know, the work and setting up at the venue and kind of getting ready for the show. I think it's fun. So yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you guys, I believe, didn't you guys just recently play at Cincinnati? That's where I'm from. And I know that my cousin went and saw you there.
Yeah, yeah.
What venue was that? Was it Bogart's or was it, might have been in Newport. I don't remember.
Yes, it was the Megacore Pavilion.
Okay.
In Newport, which is sweet.
Were you guys outside or inside?
It was going to be outside, and then there was kind of some weather, and we ended up moving it inside, and it ended up being sweet, full of pack show. It was actually a Sunday show, too.
Okay.
And that was with our friends Andy Frasco and Dogs in a Pile. We've been doing kind of a festival-esque tour with a bunch of different bands on, and it's been great.
Hell yeah. Did you get to walk around town at all or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. And we've, you know, between Newport, you know, and Covington area, mm-hmm. obviously isn't far. You know, that's always been a great area for us. You know, Madison Theater Days,
yeah.
You know, that's always, it was a big stepping stone location for us. So. Yeah, we love that area. Yeah.
Awesome, man. But yeah, so let's talk a bit about your most recent album, Day and Time, correct?
Yep.
I just want to double check because I'm always scared I'm going to get it wrong and look like
an
idiot.
No.
So where did you record that? Like, what's your guys' recording situation?
So we recorded at Right Way Studios. It's a great recording studio, actually, right in Baltimore. Some great bands play and record there, you know, Turnstile, Future Islands.
Okay.
I believe Mars Volta did a record there. And we work with a great engineer, Steve Wright. He runs the place. And, you know, the band recorded, I believe, their third album there before I was in the band. I think that Pleasure was their first time they were at that location. And, you know, it went so well. It was such a good, you know, working relationship with Steve that, you know, we've had opportunities to try out other studios and work with other people. And, you know, we've ended up staying there. We've recorded the next handful of albums there, and it's still been great. It's, you know, going to the studio, you know, obviously one of the hardest things is kind of just being comfortable. And, you know, a lot of times you're in a foreign setting and, you know, in a new room and bright lights, and you're just kind of, it's hard to get locked in that zone, but we've been able to kind of cultivate like a very homey feel there. And, you know, knowing Steve so well, it's very much like we're just setting up at a buddy's house and playing. We just happen to have great gear around us. So we've still recorded there, and, you know, who knows, maybe in the future we might venture off and try other things, but it's hard to venture off when everything's already so locked in, and we've grown together as a band and engineer, you know, that even though it's the same spot, you know, we still, every time it's a new album, we feel it's better and sounding better. And so it's a great spot.
Nice. So when you guys were recording or just putting together Day and Time, was there a certain like kind of story or message, anything like behind the scenes you wanted to get across with it?
You know, as far as, you know, the theme of the album, it's, you know, it's kind of, I think it's kind of just shown our growth in the sense of our songwriting. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that it lacked before, but I think even more so in the past years, we had so many tunes that a lot of it was, you know, just getting those songs onto records, and, you know, we would rework mm-hmm. them and revamp them. And it's, but, you know, as we've gone further, you know, we've had to kind of write more tunes and more fresh tunes. And this, I think, is kind of like the first record where a lot of the songs are, you know, pretty new to both the crowd and ourselves as well. You know,
yeah.
We typically like to try, you know, run through songs live here and there and kind of let them get shaped before we put them in their final form, which some artists record songs that they wrote in the studio that day. You know, it's kind of all different, but yeah, this, I think the, you know, it covers a lot more ground. I think like emotionally, there's a lot more, there's still the high energy positives, you know, peaking stuff, but there's still a lot of kind of, there's more even kind of cooler, brought down, mysterious sections that we don't necessarily have always had. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about you guys, is because if you were to, I'm going to use the term again, but like jam bands, whatever, like if you would look at like other bands like that, a lot of them, like on the surface for like casual listeners, you know, a lot of them sound the same. They'll put album after album out and it don't really change up much. But with you guys, like I ran through your guys' stuff and like it's fresh, like it's consistently different with each release. Is that something I always feel like progressing as a band or an artist is what shows like your actual, you know, like how good you can be. And,
yeah.
And I don't, is that something you guys are like cognizant of when you guys are making each new release?
Just yeah.
Changing
no,
it up a bit.
It's a great point. Thank you. It definitely is. You know, it's easy to get stuck in kind of, you know, the same ways musically. And then, you know, the other aspect of just being in a band for a while that can be tough is, you know, the band is always going to grow in their ear and always going to want to try new things. But you also got to be obviously aware and cognizant of the fact that, you know, you've developed such a good, strong base because of the music you've put out. So, you know, you never want to stray too far and kind of, you know, turn your back on what gained you those fans in the first place. So,
right.
But also you want to grow as a band and try new things. And I think, you know, our fans have been very good to us. And I think being aware of that, you know, like we're always going to have love for the old style, but we're also kind of trying some new things. And yeah, it's fun for a band. It can be tough sometimes. You know, you'll see a lot of bands that, you know, many years down the road, they might kind of start to morph to a new sound, and you know, not everyone might be into it, but you know, it's kind of just realizing that, you know, we're fans of music as well, and you know, sounds and kind of different tendencies are going to change. And
yeah,
it's kind of staying true to our sound while also trying new things. And it's, yeah, definitely something we've been aware of.
Right on. And this is, I like to ask this to anyone I interview on here, and especially because you guys have been around for a while now, so you guys got to kind of see it shift, like with the new social media, the TikToks, all that stuff. You kind of have, a lot of artists are getting found just by being on TikTok, stuff like that. But you guys have been around to watch it kind of turn into that. Were you able to, like, do you guys adjust to that at all? Or like, are you guys trying to adjust to it? Like some people just say, I'm fine with where we are now. Like what's your guys' approach to all that?
You know, it's a great, yeah, it's obviously the social media game is, you know, impacted music so immensely. Not only that, but with, you know, streaming, and we were just kind of joking about how, you know, physical CDs are,
yeah,
you know, look weirder than records now. Like,
yeah,
like a CD, like vinyl looks less weird than a CD now. It's like,
yeah,
it's,
you're right. You're totally so
everything's
right.
Kind of flip flopped. You see even cassette tapes coming back and like the general.
Yeah.
But, you know, Yeah, it's sorry, I kind of blanked there. But
you're good.
What was your question again?
I was just wondering because, like, since you guys have been around for so long, you kind of got to see it change. Yeah.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought. It's different. It's, you know, we do try to, you know, we have kind of altered just in general kind of our approach to, like, the marketing side of things and social media and, you know, creating engaging videos. A lot of the times, you know, if you can get a lot more fans from, like, a funny backstage video than actually, like, showing a song or something.
Yeah.
Which is fine. We love it. We go with it. We've embraced kind of that B-roll kind of day in the life and kind of showing all sides of it. But yeah, like you said, when we started, it was very much just the focus was just play and, mm-hmm. and, you know, just hit the road. And we still, you know, that's our main advice for upcoming bands as well as, yeah, you know, you might get lucky here and there, you know, getting a song on something and it's only helpful, but
yeah,
I think it's definitely the best way to go about creating a foundation is just, you know, making those physical connections and getting out there and playing and in meeting venue owners and people in the business and fans and kind of creating a network. And you'll always have that social media side, you know, but I think getting out there and just hitting the road hard is the best advice.
Yeah, man, that is good advice, especially for these young guys coming up too. Don't rely too much on the TikTok.
Yeah, it just gives you perspective too, you know,
Right. So, man, I guess, what do you guys have anything new coming down the pipe at all you could tell us about? Or,
you know, we're, I can't divulge too much. We're always working on new songs, always, you know, we're never trying to sit back and just kind of ride the wave. We always are trying to push ourselves, and we're going to be getting back on the road next week. And we've been doing a big triple headed tour with our good friends Dogs in a Pile and Andy Frasco Band, and the crowd's been great. We're about to hit the Southeast, the Northeast, and, you know, make our way all around. So we're gonna keep hitting the road, and we'll see you guys out there for sure.
Awesome. So going off the touring, like, you guys have any cool dates coming up, maybe like some festivals or anything like that?
Yep, we got some cool stuff coming up. You know, at the end of July here, we got a great festival in the Lake Tahoe area where we're playing along Carl Denson, the Wood Brothers, Main Squeeze, some really cool artists. And then
Main Squeeze are good. I know them.
Oh, dude, yeah. They're top notch really musicians. Good. They're one of the first bands that we kind of connected with.
First
touring. Yeah. Like the Bloomington, Indiana, because they're like a Chicago based originally.
Yeah.
They're great players. They're awesome. And then, Georgia Theater. We're doing two nights at the Caverns, which is inside a cave. It's insane.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, you know, we're lucky. I love going to venues and seeing new venues, and we try to keep it just as exciting for us as it is for hopefully our fans. So a lot of good stuff on the horizon here.
Awesome. Well, Alex, dude, it was a lot of fun talking to you, man. It's been a pleasure. If you have any plugs or anything you want to throw in here for people to check you out on, Floor is Yours.
Yeah, you know, we just released our album Day and Time. Go check it out. Streaming everywhere. Check us out on the road. We're always posting dates, always posting crazy videos and trying to get out some more live releases. So keep your eye out and we'll be here.
Hell yeah. You guys heard the man. Check him out, and also check out Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. They're a very unique band, man. Like, they caught me immediately, and they're really cool shit that you guys would enjoy for sure. And also, while you're at it, check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Just give us a Google, you'll find us. So Alex, thanks a lot again.
Thanks,
and,
brother.
And we'll see you guys next time.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips.